and get some water. Amen. Draw some water from God's well and give you some. Keep you from drying up. I say hip, hip, hooray for every man of God that loves his people enough to pray and to study and give his people some. Amen. Amen. I believe I'm right about that. Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody that's here tonight. I want you, if you will, 1 Kings chapter number 15. 1 Kings chapter number 15. I want you to know that I have prayed. I feel like I have sought the Lord. This is not the kind of meeting. I want to just preach something that I think works. I wanted the mind of God tonight. And I want to tell you, listen, if you're about halfway through this tonight, if you think, well, I don't really need it, I want you to pray for us weaker brethren, because I need the preaching. I've never found a place to where I think I don't need preaching. I'm still married to that lady right over there. Not just married, but happily married. We've never spent one night apart mad since we've been married. Amen. 20-something years. Amen. 20-something. We've been spent a few nights together mad, but never one night apart. God has blessed the Philbeck family. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Amen. In the book of 1 Kings, you're aware of the fact that 1 and 2 Kings deal primarily with the rule and the reign of the kings of the northern and southern kingdom. Now, there's a lot going on, and we won't get to a lot of it, but this chapter deals primarily with the two early kings of Judah and the two early kings of Israel, which was Jeroboam and Rehoboam. They battled against each other. They were very wicked men. And verse 1 through down about verse number 8 of our chapter 15 tonight deals with the reign of a man named Abijam. He was the second king of Judah. He was another very evil man. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Kings 15, verse 1. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. As the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Amen. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us. And Brother Seaton, would you ask God to help us? Amen. Amen. You be seated. Thank you for standing. I've read about a man by the name of Abijam. And if you'll notice verse number 3, he walked in all the sins of his father. And I won't take time to deal with that, but that's something that scares me. His father was Jeroboam, which was a very wicked man. He turned from all the truths of Israel. He had his fun in idolatry and paganism and calf worship and things like that. But he paid for it when his son got older and his son took after the sins of his father. Amen. And I believe that goes on today, don't you? Verse number 3 tells us his problem. He basically had a heart problem. Said his heart was not perfect. In other words, his heart wasn't right with the Lord. Now, verse number 4, really, you wouldn't think the verse fit in if you just was reading along, because it says that God let Abijam reign as king here. Let him have a place. Let him rule in spite of his rebellion, in spite of his heart being not right with God. Now, when you read that, he then let the kingdom go on past him to his son. You read that, you would almost think that God was winking or God was turning his back on the rebellion in this man's life. But if you read on, you see that it's not that at all. The Bible says in verse number 5, the reason that God let Abijam rule as king was because of David. Now, he says that his heart was not perfect like his father David was, so he had a heart problem. But God let this evil king stay on the throne because of a covenant that he had made with David. Listen to me. God's going to keep his word, friend. You better believe that's right. God's going to keep his word. It don't matter what you and I do, God's going to keep his word. Now, we see that if you'll read it, I believe I'm right. God allowed this king to rule and to reign because of David. Amen. Verse 5, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, David was, because of the testimony of David, God blessed. Boy, I wish God would bless somebody else because of me. Amen. But because of David, God blessed this evil king. Any way you read it, that's what the Bible said. God let Abijam stay on the throne because of David. Because David did right. Because of a covenant that he had with David. Amen. Now I want us to look just for a few minutes at this and think with me some things, some truths here about David's testimony. I want you to notice with me in verse number 3, I think David had what I call a choice testimony. And I say that because the Bible said Abijam's heart was not perfect, as was David. So that's saying, as far as God's concerned, David's heart at this time was right with God. Amen. So I would call that a choice testimony. Amen. The Bible said, it's as if when God considered David, he said, there is a man that's heart is right towards me. Amen. Amen. David, now it did not say in the eyes of the preacher. I like that because it didn't say in the eyes of the community. Because somebody in the community might not like a real man of God. Amen. But in the eyes of God, he had a real testimony. And that's what matters, friend. That's what matters. Amen. Amen. That tells me as a young man, David did that which was right. That tells me as a little old naughty head boy, David tried to do right. That tells me in his teenage years, David tried to do right. When everybody else was sitting on the car hoods, amen, out somewhere at some mall parking lot, old David was somewhere trying to get the mind of God. Amen. When other teenagers was doing what teenagers do, David was right with God. That tells me when David was a man, when he growed up, as far as God's concerned, his heart was in tune with God. Amen. In fact, in 1 Kings 11, for the sake of time, we won't turn. In 1 Kings 11, verse 33, and 1 Kings 14, verse 8, God even used David for a measuring stick. He was comparing other kings to David. Boy, I desire to live in such a way that God could say about you, preacher, boy, I wish this preacher could just line up with the way this man of God lived. Amen. I say David had a good testimony. Amen. I could say this quickly, and there's more good in your Bible about David than there are anybody else outside of Christ. Bible said in Acts 1:16, God spoke through the mouth of David. God himself called David a patriarch. The Bible said, God said, David was a man after mine own heart. Out of all the kings, the prophet, and the priest of the Bible, God chose the seed of David to bring forth his son to us. David was a special man. of all the kings in the northern and southern kingdom. God established this man's throne, David's throne, to be established forever. Ever. Amen. Something about David God liked. Amen. The Bible said God said he fulfilled all of my will. He's in Hebrews chapter number 11. I mean, you ever thought about what God thought about David? Yeah, I don't know what everybody else thought, but I know what God thought about this man. Amen. Noah found grace, but old David found favor. Amen. The Bible said God raised him up on high, called him the sweet psalmist of Israel, the anointed of God. God said he ruled in fear of me. Amen. David was a balanced man. He was gentle enough to write poetry, psalms, and pray and walk with God, but he's bold enough to kill 1,000 Philistines and throw their foreskin down at Saul's feet. He was a balanced man. He was gentle enough to be the rejected son of Jesse and to be a servant, but he was bold enough to take a rag and a rock and kill a giant and while everybody else was looking. He was a gentle man. He's gentle enough to weep and to play a harp and to pray, but he was bold enough to cut your head off if you fool with him. Amen. David had a choice testimony. Choice testimony. Boy, we ought to desire a choice testimony. Amen. Number two, real quick, David had not only a choice testimony, but he had a consistent testimony. The Bible said in our text that he turned not away. He didn't go a while and find something new. Amen. There wasn't a contemporary church, charismatic church, spring up down the road, and David said, I'm going to go over here a while. Amen. He didn't change Bibles. Amen. He didn't go to some old filthy music. David did not turn. God give us some people that will not turn. Amen. Everybody else was a quitting and a whining. Amen. And being a victim about something. We live in a victim society. Everybody, being a victim don't pay, friend. David wasn't a victim. Amen. David got in there and grind. He just got in there and done what God wanted him to do. When the lions came out, David didn't have to fight. He's by himself. Amen. He's by himself out there. He didn't have to fight them lions. But he stood when nobody was looking. Amen. When the bears come out, he could have said, my youth director ain't here. My pastor ain't looking. I don't really. I'm tired of fighting. He didn't say that. He killed the bear. Amen. He didn't just stand when everybody was looking. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When the giant come out and his brothers, the one he had confidence in, I'm talking about his big brothers, the ones that taught him how to fight, saw head and shoulders above everybody in Israel. They're over there peeking out from behind a tree, scared of the giant. David walks out there with a sling and a rod and kills the giant while his heroes were scared and compromising. Have we got enough God about us when some of the old-time heroes of the faith compromise to keep on going? David did. Amen. Amen. Hey, David was what I call dependable. So we see David had a choice testimony. He had a consistent testimony. I think he had a compelling testimony. Because the Bible said that he did this, nevertheless, for David's sake. So God is saying what I'm doing, as I said earlier, because David lived right. Amen. Listen to me, friend. David, through his whole life, he had a testimony that reached others and blessed others. Amen. He played a harp. He had such a touch of God, he could play a harp in the presence of Saul to get the evil spirits to go away from him. And while he done it, the men that knew David said, the Lord is with him. That is a compelling testimony, friend. Thousands of years later, this little nobody preacher's down here in South Carolina preaching about that compelling testimony. Amen. Amen. I wish just any one of them things could be said about me. But don't let that bother you. Don't feel bad for me, because I wish just one of them could be said about you. Amen. David had a compelling testimony. No, you remember this. Somebody's looking at you. You're influencing somebody. No man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. Amen. Somebody is always looking. Amen. He's the very one that influenced Israel by getting in that fight and fighting that giant. They picked up their swords, amen, come out from behind the trees and the brush piles and got back in the fight because of David. Amen. I say that's a compelling testimony. Amen. But I want you to notice it was compelling and I believe it was consistent. It was what we'd call a choice testimony. But if I'm right, verse number 5, this is what I want to deal with. David had a contradicting testimony. In verse number 5, God says, nevertheless, for the Bible says, verse 4, for David's sake, did the Lord give him a lamp in Jerusalem. Verse 5, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, turned not aside many things that he had commanded him to do all days of his life. Here it is, only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now, what God is saying here is that he did right. He did have a good testimony. But when God thought about David here years earlier, Brother Lindsay, he said there was a time when David did something contradictory to his testimony. He done something that was contradictory to what others thought about him. Amen. The Bible said, now, and I want you to notice, God said there was a time when David did not do right. There was a time when and the Bible calls it a matter. Am I right about that? The Bible says this thing, this problem, this time in David's life when he got crossed up with God and this matter that God mentions, he called it a matter. That tells me you better be careful when we let things go in our life, it will produce a matter. Amen. Are you aware of the fact God said all the good that David did, all the things that Bible says about David and what he done, but there was a time, there was a place in David's life when God said he done something that wasn't right. Now God called this thing a matter, just one matter. Just a few minutes tonight, I want to preach on what's the matter with you. And I'm putting myself in this thing tonight. What's the matter with us? Amen. Oh, yes. If David can have a matter, you can have a matter. You say, preacher, I've been in this thing a long time. Yeah, you better listen because you got a matter already. Amen. Amen. What is the matter? We see sin and rebellion left undone and unchecked will produce a matter. Most of the problems we have is because of the matters and things in our life. A lot of times nobody knows. We just don't deal with them. God ordains meetings like this for them things. Amen. You better believe that's right. Amen. Now notice the title when I give it, it was not what's wrong with your spouse. Boy, couldn't we have filled that blank up real good. I'm not even saying what's wrong with your preacher because everybody in here has got a list of what you think's wrong with somebody else. Because, by the way, ain't we all really certified Baptist spiritual profilers anyway? Amen. I mean, after all, I could be around you, ma'am, just 5 or 10 minutes and I could probably, we think we're so spiritual, we could just tell everything that's wrong with you in about 5 minutes. We're spiritual profilers. Amen. Evidently, that don't happen down here, but it does up there where I pastor. Amen. I'm wondering tonight, not what's wrong with the rebel in the youth group, not what's wrong with somebody down the street or your boss or your job, but tonight, for the next 15 minutes, let's look at what's wrong with us. Son, I'm telling you, there is some preaching up here. I don't know if I can do it, but boy, there's some liberty up here. So let's just figure out tonight what's the matter with us just for a few minutes tonight. What's the matter? The one thing between us and being spirit-filled. What's the one thing between us and being totally right with God? Amen. I believe there's a thing or two probably. I want you to notice some truths about this matter that could parallel the things that may be wrong with us. Let's look at this matter that David had. And if we'll be real honest, the matter that David had is probably similar to the matter of what me and you got. Amen. You agree with me? It's a single matter. Amen. He said, save only in the matter. It wasn't but one. One but one. Amen. Just had one. It wasn't a list of things. The crowd that's got a big list of things are not here on Friday night of revival. Amen. Amen. He just had a small one thing. I've learned that it's not normally a great big list of things that knocks us out of the battle. It's normally them single issues that we hold on to. We sit there and look at the preacher like we wish you'd hurry up. Yeah, you got the matter, friend. Amen. Yes, sir. You say, I ain't got no matter. Oh, yes, you got a matter. Amen. Jesus died because you got matters. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. It's them little things we let go. Joshua went into Canaan, and God gave him orders of who to destroy. And boy, he went through there, and he destroyed Gaza and Gath and Ashdod. And all, well, he destroyed the Canaanites, Amorites, Ammonites, and he left Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. And the Bible said he took care of all of them, save only. There's that phrase again. Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. Amen. Well, Gaza's what the... It's where that flusy come from that got Samson. Amen. Gath is where that giant come, but they wasn't supposed to have to deal with that. See, what we don't deal with are the next generation, them younguns we raise, and we'll have to deal with. Listen to me. We better deal with some issues and some matters tonight, or our kids will be dealing with them next. Amen. Amen. Ashdod. They let Ashdod go. And before you know it, they're mingling with them. Israel's marrying with them. They was never supposed to exist. God told them to wipe them out. But it's just a little thing. It's just this, just Gath and Gaza and Ashdod. They're just small. Little things left undone will cause a lot of trouble. Amen. It's some single issues. Mark 10, Jesus coming out of Jericho. There's blind Bartimaeus. Jesus walked up to him. Jesus didn't say, man, I like, you got a good suit, your hair's combed right, everything. He said, hey, what wilt thou that I could do unto thee? You know what he said? What's wrong with you? Jesus said, I'm here to fix what's wrong with you. Amen. I'm glad we're here. Glad we got good church clothes on. We're in church tonight in a good church. Amen. We've got good singing. We got the right Bible up here. We got everything. But listen, for a few minutes, if we're going to have real revival, see, we'd all welcome revival if we didn't have to change. Amen. But real revival comes when we deal with them issues. Amen. Amen. That rich young ruler, Jesus said, told him what he had to do to be saved. He said, one thing thou lackest. It seemed like the Lord was always interested in them single one things. You better believe he's interested in them tonight too, friend. It's a single issue. It was a single matter. It was a secret matter. Amen. David went to great lengths to cover it up. Amen. Nathan said, thou didst this thing in secret. Nobody else knew. Amen. Except God did. Amen. It's those things that nobody knew. People who knew David the very best didn't know it. Amen. You think, Brother Lindsay, in a crowd this size, we don't have some folks in here that's got some secret matters? Even the ones sitting beside you tonight, even your closest friends don't know nothing about it? You better believe that's right. God don't make no mistakes when he puts a preacher in the right area of the Bible. It's not the preacher, it's God knowing. Amen. Amen. It's a secret matter. Can you see David just trying to cover everything up? Can't you see David getting up in the morning? It's a secret matter. Got to cover his tracks. He's getting up every morning. He's racing his texts. Then he's got to go over there to his computer and he's got to erase his emails. Amen. He's got to get all them ugly pictures off of there and all that filth off his phone. Amen. And he's always covering his tracks. I found out it's just about as easy to live right as have to cover everything. Amen. Them secret matters. Normally, in our day, normally involves a computer. I preached on pornography the other night. I spent several days studying it. And the Bible, the survey I found, the statistics said 68%, almost 70% of men in church-going men struggle with it. Don't tell me we ain't got issues and we ain't got troubles. Amen. 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 Facebook, we're talking to people that ain't our spouse. Amen. Listen to me. If you're not married to them, you ain't got no business talking to them. Amen. Amen. You ain't got no business texting my wife. Amen. You ain't in the same area code with being right with God if you're in a sweet relationship with somebody that you ain't married to. And you're married. Amen. You got matters. Did everybody understand me clear? That's a matter, friend. Amen. Amen. Got to cover your tracks. See, my people's here tonight. If I don't preach like this here, they'll think I'm a hypocrite when I go back and preach like that up there. Amen. Amen. You better believe it. Always trying to cover something up. Hey, it might not be nothing on a computer. You may not be like me. Don't even fool with one. You may, amen. I can tell you one thing I've got victory over. That's a computer because I don't fool with it. Hey, your problem might be nobody knows much about it, but you might have turned on your preacher. Your issue might be that you've got mad at him and you've been talking bad about it. You thinking about getting three or four going somewhere and starting you a church. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you who's in that. The devil. Amen. And I don't care how loud you scream. And I don't care how high you jump. Causing trouble in churches of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It could be bitterness. You know our problems. It could be bitter. Just somebody hurt us years ago. We bring that thing in and nurse it and just let it eat away at us. We got no joy because of something we got rid of years ago that happened to us. And I've got to go on, but I wish I didn't. Amen. And it could be some kind of secret stuff. It could be you look good tonight, but when you go out in public, you look like something, like mermaid dresses. Y'all have that in South Carolina? Mermaid dresses. They look like 4 pounds of sausage in a 2 pound bag. Well, and they're, hey, look, you wear that because you want somebody to look at you. Yeah, ain't nobody right with God wants to look at you. Amen. 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 Look here, real quick tonight. It's a single matter. This ain't going over good. Almost everybody, but not everybody. Amen. But you know it's true. It's true. It's true. Amen. Your matter might be that your wife rules the home. I don't think God's ever told a woman that's married to a man that we're not going back to that church. I don't believe that. Hey, God either leads through the head or he don't. Amen. Amen. We got a crowd now roosting on the bedpost. Some of them scared to shout the knife. They're looking at the wild. Like, amen. Amen. Look here. It's a shining. It's a secret matter. It became a shining matter. Now, what I mean by that, it was secret. It was a single matter, but it left undone. It got to where it was a shining matter. Now, let me say, nobody knew what David had done. But when you study David's life, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 11, he lost his desire to fight. It come time for the kings to go out to battle. And the Bible said David tarried still at the house. You know people was going, what's wrong with David? What's wrong with David? What's the matter with David? Why ain't he fighting? Amen. Amen. Then you study on. The Bible said in 2 Samuel 12 that he got cold towards the scripture. Because Nathan said, thou hast despised the commandments of the Lord. But wait a minute, it used to be like honey to him. It used to be, how wonderful are thy precepts. But now he despises, that means just disregards it. The matter may be, you just don't love the word of God like you used to. David got over all that God had ever done for him. Because Nathan looked at him and said, what more could I have done for you? I give you Jerusalem. I give you everything. And he said, and I would have given you more. You know what God's saying? Did it not matter? Do you not ever think about how good I've been to you? Before somebody runs off in sin, they got to get over everything that God has done for them. Amen. Amen. David lost his burdens for souls. Because in Psalm 51, he said, let me get right with you, then I'll teach transgressors thy ways. He got to where he didn't even care about sinners dying, going to hell. You can't tell me somebody didn't say, what's wrong with that man? What's wrong with him? Amen. Sometimes when you got sin and we got things in our life, pornography and things filthy in our life, we think everybody's blind to it. Because nobody is in there looking at you while you're doing it. You think nobody knows. They may not know exactly, but your pastor knows something's wrong with you. You say, well, I'm telling you, don't nobody know about mine. Well, you better watch that crowd sleeping like a baby, living in filth. Their issue, their matter might not be a secret or a single. It might be a salvation matter they got. Amen. Somebody gets distant, they get cold, they're gripey, grumbly all the time. You can't please them. If the Apostle Paul preached, they still, some of them wouldn't like it. They're not happy. Amen. That's what happened. Amen. It was a shining matter. Critical spirit. When somebody's got a critical spirit, that's because they've got a matter, and that matter is shining like a strobe light. Amen. He had a shining matter. Don't come to Sunday school. Don't tithe. Amen. You read Malachi chapter 3, them not tithing was the evidence of a bigger problem. They had walked away from God. You study it. Not tithing was just evidence they wasn't right with God. Look here. Single, secret, shining. It was a sorrowful matter. It became a sorrowful matter. David's problem is sin, but led him to suffering. And I'm done. Let me say this. Psalm 51:3, he said, my sin is ever before me. When he got up in the morning, the weight of that sin. Amen. Ever before me. When he went to eat dinner and eat supper, ever before me. When he tried to break away and go fishing, ever before me. See, when you got saved, that's a guarantee you can't live comfortably and feel. Amen. Amen. Psalm 51 verse 2, he said he felt dirty. He said, wash me, purge me. Just feel dirty as a Christian when you get that stuff in you. He said, verse 8, no. He said, make me to hear, verse 8. He ain't hearing from God. He ain't getting nothing from the preacher. The preacher's preaching, he ain't getting nothing. Amen. You saying I ain't getting fed. That's what David said. I just wasn't getting fed down there, so I'm going to go over here. Hey, bud, your matter's going with you over there. You might as well get your matter fixed and sit right here. Amen. Amen. Look here. He said, create in me a right spirit. He had a bad spirit. Amen. Bad spirit. You ever been? I know. Boy, I wish I lived down here because y'all don't act like y'all got none down here. But we got some people with some bad spirits up there where I'm at. Amen. He said, uphold me. He quit standing. He quit standing. Amen. I believe David become a victim. I believe he just started nursing that. Somebody stole my Reese cup when I was 9 on the playground. So I've got to do drugs and never work the rest of the day of my life. Amen. Amen. Look here. Basically what I'm trying to say is nobody got by. Nobody gets by. There's some things that's joined together in Scripture like, what then God joined together and no man's going to put them asunder. One of them is faith and repentance. There may be a theologian here tonight and you can tell me which one you get first. I don't know. But I know if you get one right, you're going to get the other. If you get saving faith, you're going to get scriptural repentance. You scripturally repent, you're going to get faith. They're joined together. I'm going to tell you one more thing's joined together. Sin and suffering. Sin left undone causes suffering. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. He that coveteth sin shall not prosper. He that confesseth and forsaketh them. Just think, tonight in this building, we can get right with God. Can I tell you this? 2 minutes. I hope I've not went over my time. Look here. Just if you think with me just a minute. You know who suffered the most of David's sin and rebellion? His family. Amnon. Tamar. Absalom. That baby. For this sin, that child shall surely die. That's what God said. Amen. So you think, here's a preacher come in here tonight. He don't know nobody, and God put this on his heart. Would you think maybe that God in mercy is saying, hey, I want you to get right tonight. I want us. I hope I'm not sounding like me up here and you down there. God wants us to get right with God. Amen. I'm going to tell you why we wouldn't. If we don't, I'm going to tell you why. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Because the sentence against an evildoer is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know what he's saying? Because God don't judge us speedily. We get by. We think we got by. Amen. Ain't nobody ever got by. Amen. I want you to know, if David could preach the rest of this message tonight, you know what he'd say? He'd say, you better listen to the preacher. You better listen to that Bible. Matters will ruin your marriage. It'll ruin your testimony. Amen. It'll ruin your family. Amen. Ain't nobody ever got by. And I'm telling us, me and you ain't going to be the first one. Amen. God said, just because you got by with it, just because you've been getting by a while. See, now God's done sent you a message. Just because you got by, now I'm sending you a message. Don't think I ain't going to send judgment. He said, just because it ain't come speedily. Because we serve a very merciful God. Amen. Amen. Let me say this. Last night of the meeting, I've seen people take laps. I've seen people shout. I've felt the touch of God around here. I've seen the Lord move. Seen people get right. Brother Ledbetter said somebody called him weeping, praising God for getting right with God. He was tore up talking to me about it today. Only God can do stuff like that. But here we are at the end of the week in a meeting when all the preaching that we've heard going to have to give an account. You mean you're going to walk out that door with a matter in your life? There is no excuse. There is no excuse, friend. There's no excuse. And I'm going to tell you how easy it is. You get serious with God, God will get serious with you. He died to forgive us of these matters. If we'll, listen to me, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us. Amen. I think it hurts the very heart of God to have a meeting like this. And we shout and run the aisles, and I'm for it. We need more of it. But to walk out that door with things that's stripping us of victory, that's taking the hand of God off of our families, not right with God, not reading our Bible, not praying. I'm sorry, friend. I think God wants us to get right with him. And I want to go on public record saying we can. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. If you're willing, he's willing. Amen. Thank you, preacher. God bless.